Well, praise the Lord, and thank you for tuning in. I am Jason Hale, and today's lesson is going to be about the secret place, and this is part two. Today, we're going to talk about setting your love upon God. And we're going to start with our first foundation scripture, which is Acts chapter 3, verse 26. And it says, "Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities." So as I've been meditating this for the past few months, one of the things that occurred to me is that in this scripture, there are two doors. So one door is Jesus Christ, and the second door is the turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So when you look at John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." So Jesus is the first door. And when you go through the door of Jesus Christ, then you are saved. And then the second door is the turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So anytime you think of doors, you think about, okay, well, if it's a door, what does it give me access to? Well, let's look at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7. Because this door, it gives you access to finding God. It gives you access to him hearing you when you pray. Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So unless you turn away from your iniquities, it's not that God can't hear, it's that he will not hear. So the two doors actually make you eligible for the covenant promise of being in the secret place. When it says that he that dwelleth in the secret place, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth means that he that sitteth or he that waiteth upon God. That is a door. And so in this door in Acts chapter 3, verse 26, when he's talking about, okay, well, Jesus is the first door, and then a turning away from your iniquities is the second door. It doesn't give you automatic access to the secret place, but it gives you eligibility to now pursue it. A good example of that is my son who wanted to be a civil engineer. He had to go through 4 years of university, which was the first door. So once he graduated from that with his degree, the next requirement was to do an internship or work for a company in civil engineering. All right, so that was the second door. It did not make him automatically an engineer, but it made him eligible to take the next steps. And those next steps would be to apply and to take the test for his certification to actually be an engineer. So these doors in Acts chapter 3, verse 26, they don't automatically put you into the secret place. What they do is they make you eligible. So now you could go to the next step and actually walk through those doors into the secret place. Let's read Psalm 91. It says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the adder shalt thou trample on their feet. So, in this psalm, the first 13 verses are spoken of by the writer. But there are two people speaking in this song. The second person who's speaking is actually God. He comes in verse 14 and he talks about the first thing that really matters to him. He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. That's what the Lord says. And that's what really matters to him is what he mentioned first. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So there are so many benefits in this song. Actually, this song is what I will call a covenant promise. Now, I explained covenant promise in a previous teaching, and that is a covenant promise has two parts. One is God's part. The other is your part. God is not obligated to do his part until your part is fulfilled. Actually, maybe I could state it another way. God has already completed his part. And so the part that he completed won't apply to you until your part is fulfilled. A good example of that is from the issue or the covenant promise of salvation. Now, Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. But salvation doesn't apply to you until you fulfill your part. So your part is Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If thou wilt confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. So once you do your part, then God is obligated to do his part. All covenant promises work that way. So when you look at it from the standpoint of all of these promises that are in Psalm 91, he talks about divine deliverance in verse 3 and divine protection in verse 4. Divine peace. He talks about divine health in verse 6, divine recompense in verse 8, divine safety in verse 10, divine support in verse 12, divine dominion. He talks about spiritual victory and how God will exalt you. He talks about spiritual knowledge and he talks about divine answers. And those divine answers, if you haven't checked out part one, you should do it. You should really listen to that because those divine answers are real. I believe it was yesterday. It was either yesterday or day before yesterday. It was really interesting. God gave me an answer for something that I haven't even asked yet. Like I received the answer in the early morning when I was praying. It was maybe, I don't know, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe 4. And then later on that day, I asked him something. I asked him, I said, Lord, what do I need to do to become a better person? How do I become a better person with you? How do I become a better person in my spiritual walk? How do I become a better person in my relationships? How do I become a better father to my children? Do I become a better money manager and a better businessman? And then he brought to my mind what he showed me earlier. Deal with impatience. If you can get rid of impatience, everything in your life and all that you have requested will automatically elevate. Isn't that amazing? Impatience. Divine answers. And then needless to say, the next day I received a call and some of that impatience came out. So it like exposed to me and I was able to see it. You know, a lot of times when things happen, a lot of times they're not happening against you. They're happening for you. Sometimes they're happening so that you can see yourself. You can see how you react in that certain situation. Awesome, awesome stuff. I could get stuck there, but I won't. So divine answers. He talks about his divine presence in verse 15. And then divine honor and longevity. So setting your love upon God is actually the doorway to it all. And so when you look at doorways, consider this. We as people, we have a tendency to hide things that are valuable to us. So for instance, if you come into my house, You'll come into my house and you'll probably most likely sit in the living room unless I'm walking back to the kitchen and you come with me. However, behind doors, there are things that are more valuable to me that are not visible to you. And you cannot gain access to them unless I invite you. And I will never invite you unless we have that type of relationship. And then there are those things that are most valuable that even if I love you, you will never see them unless you have proven to me that you love me. There are things that I cannot trust you to see or trust you to handle. I cannot trust how you're going to feel about it. I cannot trust what you're going to think until I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love me. Me loving you is not enough because I can love someone who is not loyal to me. But it's only after you have proven your love to me that I can show you. And so God is the same way, for we are created in his image. So when you have proven your love for God, then you will see he will start inviting you through certain doors. And those doors give you access to more valuable things. In fact, the very best thing that God can ever give you is deep knowing of him. That's the very best thing that God can ever give you, because everything else comes with that. Spiritual authority comes with that. Deliverance comes with that. God exalting you and poverty being no longer an issue in your life. That comes with that. Having a deep understanding and knowledge of God. You will never get there until you have proven your love for him. So this is what this is about. It is, how do we love God? I think the first thing is to define love. Now, I know some of you are going to say, oh, yeah, love is patient and love is kind. And, you know, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, how do you define love? Defining love is understanding this, that love is not defined just by what you say yes to, but by what you say no to. Love, true love, is not defined just by what you say yes to, but by what you say no to.